بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم: الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran in Surah Az-Zumr: those who listen to the word, that is good advice, and follow the best thereof. Dear Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put our success in the deen, complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands of Allah on all aspects of our life. Islam is a complete code of life, and it has instructions and injunctions for all aspects of our life. One such aspect is our mu'amalat, our business, our earnings, our spendings, our investments, our economy. And that is what I would like to talk about, a very important matter, and I hope you will give me due attention for today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun: كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. The approximate meaning: partake of the good things and work righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes eating halal and earning halal before doing good deeds. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. We have to make sure that all sources of our income are 100% halal, pure. And there shouldn't be any doubt about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And sell not, do not exchange my verses for a small price. Do not exchange my verses for a small price. Dear Muslims, the modern economy, the present financial system, is based on some concepts of non-believers. One of that concept is the economy is the all and end all, the ultimate goal of the mankind. And the other concept of non-believers is that man is the sole owner of the entire wealth of the universe, and he is allowed to do whatever he can with his money in order to make more money. No divine guidance, no injunctions of Sharia. And this is the same theory that the Quran describes when the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, they were cheating in their business, trying to make more money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Shu'aib alayhi salam, and he told him, أَصَّلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. Does your salat command that we give up what our fathers used to worship, or that we give up doing what we like with our property? They were saying, we are the sole owner of our wealth, we can do whatever we want. That kind of attitude of the present day financial systems, that leads to an imbalance in the society, that promotes interest, that promotes gambling, speculations, monopolies, and leads to a bubble economy, which reduce the natural process of supply and demand. And this is what we are seeing around in the financial system today. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, وَآتُوهُم مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. And give them something out of the wealth of Allah. And give them something out of the wealth of Allah. which he has bestowed upon you. In another ayah, in the qissa, in the story of Qarun, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ, but seek with that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you the home of the hereafter. It is Allah who is the sole owner and ultimate owner of all the wealth and whatever is in the heaven and the earth. It's a trust that Allah has given in people's hand. And it is Allah alone who decides how that money is to be acquired and how it is to be spent. The concept of Islamic economy, first of all, is that economy is not the all and end all and the ultimate purpose of one's life. Because this life of this dunya is short, it's a transitionary period, and we are all proceeding towards the everlasting life in the hereafter. That's why we find in the Quran the types of ayahs which says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, and the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو, know that the life of this world is play and amusement. So this is the reality of this short life. However, Islam is a complete system, also has injunctions how to live, necessity, how to earn, how to spend for this short life. And that's why there are rules for economy also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the life of this world in other places as something like khair, something like fadl. وَابْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek the bounty of Allah. And like we make dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Islam does not deny market forces. It recognizes market economy. It recognizes private ownership. And it recognizes the law, the supply and demand. However, it's a complete system and everything is subject of Sharia and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared interest taking and giving forbidden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made haram, riba. There are various ayahs in the Quran dealing with the subject of riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبًا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and whatever riba you give so that it may increase in the wealth of the people, it does not increase with Allah. In Surah An-Nisa, while describing the sins of Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ, and because of their charging riba while they were prohibited from it. And Surah Ali Imran, clear instructions. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la ta'kulu riba adhafan mudha'afa. O those who believe, do not eat up riba doubled and redoubled. And Surah Al-Baqarah, near the end. الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. Till the end of ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. The approximate meaning of these ayahs of the Quran: those who take riba, interest, will not stand, but as stands the one whom the shaitan has driven crazy by his touch. This is because they have said, trading is but like riba. And Allah has permitted trading and prohibited interest. So whoever receives an advice from his Lord and stops, he is allowed what he has passed, and his matter is up to Allah. And the ones who revert back, those are the people of fire. There they remain forever. Allah destroys riba and nourishes charities. And Allah does not like any sinful disbeliever. Surely those who believe and do good deeds, establish salah and pay zakah, have their reward with their Lord, and there is no fear for them, nor shall they grieve. O those who believe, fear Allah and give up what still remains of the riba if you are believers. But if you do not, then listen to the declaration of war from Allah and His Messenger. And if you repent, yours is your principle, neither you wrong nor be wronged. And if there be one in misery, then deferment till ease. And that you leave it as sadaqah is far better for you, if you really know. And be fearful of a day, and be fearful of a day when you shall be returned to Allah. Then everybody shall be paid in full what he has earned, and they shall not be wronged. These are the approximate translations, dear respected Muslims. To warn anybody who is dealing with this subject, that compare the punishment of other sins, compare the punishment of drinking or intoxication, compare the punishment of other sins to the punishment of taking and giving riba. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares a war against such person, and this warning is in the Quran till the day of judgment. The prohibition of taking interest was in the Torah. The Bani Israel were prohibited, like other sins, like intoxication, they were also prohibited from taking interest. But they disobeyed, they transgressed the limits of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them inflictions and punishment throughout history. Throughout history. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the one who accepts a riba and the one who pays it. This is the riwayah of Muslim. In the riwayah of Tirmidhi, and the one who records it and the two persons who stand witness to it. Taking riba, giving riba, is both are forbidden. This is why our scholars explain that Islam wants to promote a society which is based on selflessness, based on sacrifice, based on sympathy for the fellow being, based on sympathy for the poor people. On the other hand, an interest-based society promotes selfishness, it promotes a lot of evils in the economic system and in the society. Respected Muslims, Islam is a complete system and has a solution for everything. So the business aspects, the muamalat, the finances, Islam has also the orders of Allah in that regard. And the Islamic scholars have studied this subject and the problems of today and have described certain methods based on partnership, based on profit and loss, and about 200 institutions, financial institutions, are working under their guidance. And this is the first step. I encourage everybody to go and read more about that. There are established websites, Islamic sites, which deal with, you know, various aspects of Islamic finance. And this is very critical matter for us who live here and earn and who we have investments all around here. A very specific question arises is dealing with stocks, owning, buying or holding stocks of particular companies. We are not giving you a stock broker advice here, no financial advice, just the Sharia point of view, what Quran says, what Islam says about this subject. And let everybody do the research and fear Allah in this matter. So you will find some public websites where they keep data about the companies in America and companies around the world and their indexes and their Islamic standing, and they screen their financial results. One such site is IslamIQStocks.com. One word, IslamIQStocks.com. I encourage everybody to go there, become a member and check out the standing of the companies whom stock you are dealing with. And I read some of the notes to you to see how complicated and how important this matter is. They allowed me permission to read this in a Jummah khutbah. Islam IQ stocks, they operate under the advice of some Sharia scholars, and they have a screening process where the company's source of income from business activities, product lines and non-operational interest income as well as their financial structures are assessed to ensure strict compliance with Sharia. An Islamic investor may not purchase fixed income securities, preferred shares, so on, where a predetermined rate of return is stipulated. May not purchase or hold shares in a company if the main business or activity of a company is not lawful in Sharia. Even if the Muslim investor does not make a monetary gain from these shares, the very act of his holding these shares signals the involvement in the prohibited line of business. I'll read some more notes. An Islamic investor may not purchase the shares of companies such as financial institutions based on interest, such as conventional interest-based banks, finance houses, companies who sell alcoholic beverages, companies involved with gaming, gambling, casinos, games of chances, companies involved with pork production, non-halal food production, pornography, and other entertainment items. Now the issue is, many of those companies operate in non-Islamic countries where there are no laws to control, to stop taking or giving interest. As a result, nearly all these companies, they routinely place excess corporate funds in interest-bearing deposits, CDs, bonds, bills, and other interest-bearing and principal-guaranteed instruments. On occasion, they borrow money from banks and capital markets, paying out interest. And this corporate borrowing may be for research and development, marketing, manufacturing, purchasing capital equipment, human resources, and so on. Companies acquire other companies, they split, they merge, and sometimes acquire a division or a subsidiary engaged in a business which is not in conformance with Sharia. So the contemporary Sharia opinion is almost unanimous, that to the point that if all the business activities of a company are in full conformity with Sharia, and the company neither borrows money on interest nor keeps its surplus cash in an interest-bearing account or instrument, its shares can be purchased, held, and sold without any hindrance from Sharia. Admittedly, such companies are very rare in the real world. So the scholars have considered this situation, and I have done some research past several months on this. And you will find one view, one opinion of the scholars, if a company is involved in interest, either by borrowing or depositing an interest-based transaction, then automatically one cannot hold or buy or keep the shares of that company. That's one view. Another view, there is these Islamic websites like IslamIQStocks.com, and they go through a very detailed screening process of the financial results of the company. And I encourage everybody, because this is a matter for those who are involved, this is a matter of life and death. Very simple. That we should find out what's happening and what Islam says about this, and then ask Allah. The point I'm trying to make, that there are some well-known companies whose primary business is halal. However, they make a significant amount of money through interest-bearing deposits, interest-making investments. And therefore, according to many scholars that I have consulted, that keeping their shares or owning or buying their shares or making a part of salary to buy their shares on whatever basis is not allowed in Islam. That was some very simple or very important message that I wanted to give. And everybody is encouraged to go and research those, you know, Islamic websites, the financial data, the annual reports of the companies. Every year, June 30, the companies release annual reports. And should go there and find out what it is about and what Sharia says. Now, as an Islamic investor with religious concern, everyone has responsibilities. If company someone has invested in puts its non-operating income into interest-bearing account, therefore it is your responsibility, the responsibility of that person, to make the concern known through the annual shareholder meeting or through the proxy vote or through whatever means, because the companies give a chance to all the shareholders to give suggestions and to voice their opinions. So dear respected Muslims, I explained the Sharia view that according to Islamic point of view, the shares of many companies are not halal to keep or buy or do trade in. So if one has such stocks, then the Sharia advice is obviously to dispose those stocks. The question arises now, what to do with the amount of impure income? If somebody decides to dispose, if some company gives dividend or somebody sells the shares and get capital gain, what to do with the portion of the amount which is coming from the proportion of the interest-based income of that company? And then again, this is a matter very critical, one who is in that situation, is to refer to the scholars. I'll give you some of the opinions. That one opinion is, some company gives dividend, somebody finds that, oh, I shouldn't hold these shares, he also got some dividend. A portion of the dividend, which is equivalent to the portion of the interest-based income of that company, should be given as sadaqah, should be given as charity. And this is not for any benefit or ajr, but to just get rid of that portion of the money. And there is a difference of opinion, what to do with the capital gain, how to get rid of the impure income which is included in the capital gain if somebody disposes those stocks. And keep in mind that money is not zakah. It doesn't benefit somebody in the akhirah. It's a religious responsibility. It's called purification. Because the economy, the financial market has reached to that state. Even somebody wants to get rid of those, still he has to face this question. What to do with the money of impure income included in that? I've asked some scholars, if someone is in that situation, they say this money can be given to any poor people, even to non-Muslims, and this is different from zakah, and this is called wajibut tasadduq. And the condition of tamlik, that making somebody owner of that money, is not necessary, so it can be given to any charity for all charitable purposes. I encourage everybody to, you know, go to those websites and research if someone is holding stocks of some companies in America. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. O you who believe, eat of the good things wherewith we have provided you. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a person who is a wayfarer, who is a musafir, with, you know, old clothes and disheveled hair, and he is asking, he is, you know, raising hands towards the heaven and asking, O Allah, O Allah. But his food is haram, his clothes are haram, then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would listen to him? The approximate meaning of that hadith. People wonder why the dua of the prayer of Muslims are not accepted today, of some Muslims. If you look into in the light of this hadith, it becomes very clear. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, Allah even listens to the dua of a kafir sometimes. Not to mention the dua of the prayer of a sinful Muslim. But it is the dua of a pious person who is frequently accepted. Frequently accepted. Dear respected Muslims, everyone has to die, and the day will come when you, me and everybody will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will be accountable, and we will look left and right, and at that point nobody will take pride that, oh, I make such and such money in, you know, such and such investments. People want to go back to the world, that, oh Allah, send us back, we will clean up our hisab. You know, this reminder, this tazkira is made so that we clean up our hisab before the time comes that we have to go and give that hisab. Very important matter, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because after June 30 every year, the interest income ratio of the companies, of some companies, is getting worse. Because of the present economic situations, they keep their money in surplus in the guaranteed profit-making accounts. And that's why, you know, it's everybody's responsibility to go and research and check out what scholars are saying and check out what Islamic indexes are saying and take appropriate actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand and act upon it. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.